This is episode number 196. I'm talking about the number one quality that you must have to be a successful entrepreneur. Do you have it? We'll find out. That's coming up.
This is the Red Podcast, the marketing podcast for influencers. Rise above the noise. Expand your audience. Deliver impact. Here's your host, David Hooper.
One of the things that I did when I started my music marketing business, making the transition from musician to music business entrepreneur, is I took some gigs as a DJ. I just moved to Columbus, Ohio. Didn't know anybody. Nobody knew me. Nobody knew my music. The music marketing part of my business was just taking off. So I had these DJ gigs that I was able to get through a booking agent. And he would book me wherever the money was. It wasn't a glamorous thing. A lot of times I would do corporate events. And he booked me on a Saturday afternoon gig. It was a corporate party. And it was on Fifth Avenue in Columbus, Ohio. So I load up everything, mixers, speakers, lighting system, load that up in my vehicle. And I start to head out on Fifth Avenue. Only to discover, because I just moved to Columbus, Ohio, that there is an East Fifth Avenue. And there's also a West Fifth Avenue. Flipped a coin. And I got to where I thought the venue was going to be. I had the street number. Couldn't find it. Bunch of buildings. All of them looked pretty plain. Didn't look like what I was looking for. Turn the car around. Start driving east. Back through the center of town. I'm going on East Fifth Avenue. Get out to where I think the place would be based on the number. Can't find it. And I start to realize that maybe I had made the correct decision the first time. I had a mobile phone on me, but nobody that I could call. Didn't know anybody in Columbus, Ohio. Booking agent, because it was a weekend, couldn't get in touch with him. Finally find it and arrive about 15 minutes before I was slated to go on. And again, basically, I'm a glorified jukebox. I've got to get my speaker cabinets out of the vehicle, get the mixer, get the crates of records, the CDs, get the lighting system, set this thing up. I've got 15 minutes to do it, and I'm hauling ass to do it. The venue people are freaking out. They think that I'm crazy, but I make it on time, get that first record playing right on time. Now, as I got there, this was a really bad start to the gig. I realized that it is a Christmas-themed party. Not a problem, just play Christmas music, right? I'd forgotten my Christmas music. So I've got a five-hour set to do, no Christmas music. The people that booked me were kind of frustrated with me because I showed up after my call time, and it was just a huge rush to get everything to go by the time my set was supposed to start. And that's how the gig started. It's actually a pretty funny story. After the podcast, I'll complete that because that doesn't really have to do with the lesson that I'm trying to teach here. But after the podcast, I'll keep the tape rolling and complete the story for you if you're interested in knowing how that gig worked out. This is the Red Podcast, the podcast for influencers. If you're a blogger, speaker, podcaster, marketer, nonfiction author, or business owner, and you want to reach, expand, and develop your audience, this is the podcast for you. I talk about things like book publishing, speaking, podcasting, and other marketing elements of your business that you must master to make a name for yourself. The focus is how to take your idea, spread your message, and make a name for yourself within your industry and beyond. And the reason I tell you this DJ story, I was having a conversation with John Acuff a couple of months ago. And we were talking about how a lot of brand new entrepreneurs and even seasoned entrepreneurs want to know, will it work? Will my idea work? Will the new hire work? Should I fire this person? Should I raise my prices? Should I lower my prices? Will what I'm about to do work? Everybody wonders that. You wonder it. I wonder it. Everybody wonders it, whether we're brand new at this or we've been at it for a while. And he sent me this article, and it said the number one characteristic of successful entrepreneurs is their ability to deal with ambiguity. And it made me think of this DJ story that I just told you, where I didn't have the complete address of where I was going to. You go one way, see if it works. You turn things around, go the other way, see if that works. And sometimes you end up where you were first going. Sometimes you fail, sometimes you succeed. And specifically why I thought about this DJ story, it's been about 20 years at this point, was because at the time, no GPS. I had a mobile phone, but it wasn't like a mobile phone today. No Google Maps, Apple Maps, no internet access. And if you didn't know who to call, you're not going to get the information that you need. Sometimes you're not going to get the information that you need regardless. I had a book, like a map, Rand McNally Atlas, but that wasn't going to be any kind of help because this wasn't a traditional type venue. It was some kind of event space, looked like all the other industrial buildings that were on this road. Wasn't exactly marked well. And I want you to compare that kind of situation, and maybe you're not even old enough to where you remember how things used to be when things were like that, because the way we do things now in entrepreneurship is not the way that we did things then. Some of that is good, some of it not so good, but it really made me think of not just will this work and do we have everything laid out perfectly for us, but it made me think about how we deal with connection and how we deal with mystery when it comes to our own marketing. And I thought about social media because today there's no mystery about people. Every single thing that we do, if we want to, is exposed. If you've heard the Prince episode that I talked about, Business Lessons from Prince, that's at redpodcast.com/Prince. One of the things that I talked about that Prince was great at was leaving mystery by not doing interviews, by just doing photographs instead of video, by leaving blanks for you to fill in instead of giving all of that to you. I think about what we do with social media right now. I've been in mastermind groups where you've got people telling their deepest, darkest fears about what they're going through, where these people are looking for help from other people within the group, and somebody will take out a phone, start videoing it, put it up on Periscope. That's ridiculous, man. We've got private meetings that are on Snapchat, Periscope. We've got photos of everything on Facebook, mentions on Twitter. I see a lot of entrepreneurs. It's like they're living for something else, not the group that they've got in front of them, not the five, maybe six great masterminders in front of them, but they want everybody else outside of that room to know that they're there. That's ridiculous, man. Have you ever been in a restaurant? Let's say it's a place like Chipotle, maybe an ice cream store, Baskin Robbins, one of those places where you go up to a counter, you order something. Maybe it's a hotel where you're checking in. Big line of people wanting to get burritos, ice cream, a hotel room. And the guy behind the counter stops the line, picks up the phone, and starts answering a question from somebody who's calling in. Somebody who didn't take the effort to actually come to the store, probably isn't serious, just asking questions. This is what social media is a lot of the time, especially if you're in a group situation where you've got people in front of you. These are the people that are paying you money. These are the people that you're trying to connect with and have real relationships with. You completely cut that off when you start taping it and putting it out on the internet for anybody, usually the people who aren't very serious, to see. It leaves no mystery, so people aren't able to fill in the blanks like they were with Prince. People know every single thing about you. Again, it's that ambiguity. You as an entrepreneur need to be comfortable with that ambiguity, not knowing what people out in cyberspace are doing. And people in cyberspace actually like that ambiguity. They start filling in the blanks for you, and it's usually a whole lot more interesting than that video that you're posting. If you were just to say, hey, I was in a mastermind meeting, had some great people, they're wondering, oh man, what's going on behind that closed door? You don't need to open that door for them. You're comfortable with ambiguity. They're comfortable with ambiguity. You all benefit. You ever seen that show called Mad Men, Don Draper? Kind of the quintessential 60s businessman, two martini lunch, that kind of guy. He would leave for a few days. He'd tell the secretary, hey, off for a few days. Nobody questioned that. What would that look like today? Well, they'd be able to track him on his iPhone. They'd be able to check in with him. They'd be texting him. He'd be sending out updates from wherever he was I don't mean to make this sound like it's a social media rant, but if you've seen Snapchat, I've written about this at 23hours.com. If you go to redpodcast.com/196, I'll link to my article about Snapchat. I've checked it out just because I like to stay on top of things, see new technologies that people are using. And it's mind-blowing to me how you've got people that are apparently busy people, or I thought they were, when I had that ambiguity and I was filling in the blanks myself. And these guys, it seems like all they do every 15 minutes, 20 minutes, is throw up a Snapchat video. That's killing entrepreneurship, man. It's killing the demand for you. It's killing the mystery. And people are going to go somewhere else once you're exposed. It's like telling you a magic trick at a magic show. Yeah, sometimes it makes it more interesting if you're curious. But whatever happened to the mystery, man? Got to leave a little bit. Let people fill in the blanks themselves. Mystery is what sells people. You give them some of the puzzle, they fill in the rest of the puzzle with their mind. And again, those things that they fill the puzzle in with, they're a whole lot more interesting than what you're going to show them on video. Think about this. You've probably read a book that was later made into a movie. And what do people say when they've read the book and seen the movie? Well, the book was better. That's because you're filling in the blanks with your mind. There's no way, even with millions and millions of dollars for great actors, great special effects, great sets, there's no way that that's going to compete with your mind. So this ambiguity, again, it's good for you because the only way that you're going to find out if something works is to jump in, and it's good for your clients. It's good for your prospective clients. Because they're going to fill in the blanks, not knowing every single thing that's going on. This connected world, it's actually making us less connected. Facebook, facade. Got 5,000 friends on Facebook. I know a guy who has 5,000 friends on Facebook. He needed to move. Was asking if anybody had a truck. Nobody. Now, if this guy posted a funny Snapchat video, funny pictures, he's got a lot of likes, a lot of comments. Oh, man, you're hilarious. But when it comes to real relationships, like, hey, man, anybody got a truck I can borrow? Anybody want to go watch a movie this weekend? Hey, anybody want to knock some balls around playing tennis? Uh-uh. He's not going to find it because those are not real relationships. He hasn't cultivated those real relationships. This connected world, we're actually less connected because of it. We spend more time online and less time offline with the real relationships that are going to work. Now, what's worth more, 1,000 Facebook friends or that one guy who's in your area, in your city, in your neighborhood, in your community? It's going to let you borrow a truck when you need to move something. What's worth more? 1,000 likes, that doesn't equal money. That's just an ego stroke. You ever told a story about your past in front of a crowd, in front of an audience? I did that when this episode started. I told you a story about me going to the DJ gig. What happens when you tell that story? It becomes revisionist. Even this podcast is revisionist. You forget the hard parts, or you accentuate the hard parts. Failure porn. Those guys are all over social media. Oh my God, I was homeless. Didn't know what to do. I got kicked out by my girlfriend. Didn't have a place to live. And now I'm making $1 million online every week. Here's how I do it. Go to my affiliate link. Social media is revisionist. And this comes back to how ambiguity is necessary for successful entrepreneurship. If you're on social media and you're listening to the stories of other entrepreneurs, you got to keep in mind that they're forgetting the hard parts. And if they're not, they're exaggerating the hard parts and telling you how they've overcome them. Well, if you're in a situation where you're wondering if something's going to work, you may think that nobody else is having to deal with this. Hell yeah, they're having to deal with it. It is hard to be in the middle of a book. It is hard to launch a new podcast. It's hard to start a new podcast episode. Every single time I walk in the Red Room, which is my recording studio where I record Red, every single time I'm here, it is difficult for me to actually get here. And I've been doing this for a while. Self-employed for over 20 years. Red Podcast, over 2 years. Commercial radio, 11 years. And that's just this stint at it. That doesn't count my post-college radio career. And it's still hard. We don't talk about the hard parts. We forget them. And if you're reading somebody else's story, it's easy to think maybe you're a little weird because you're having those hard parts. You are not. One more thing I want to talk about when it comes to ambiguity, because as an entrepreneur, if you're listening to Red Podcast, you're comfortable with it on some level. It may feel uncomfortable, but you're more comfortable than the average person. And you may assume that the people you work with, the people you hire, whether they're employees or freelancers, maybe you find on Elance or Odesk or Upwork, whatever they call it these days, you may think that the people you hire have your level of ambiguity. That is not true. I took a management workshop one time at a company, several dozen employees, didn't feel like I was a good manager. He called me a free-range boss because I'm able to start something on my own, because I'm able to come up with an idea, execute the idea, finish the idea. I expected other people could do that as well. Other people, that is not the case. When I first started hiring people, I thought because I was sick of people always looking over my shoulder, I thought that because when I had had jobs working for other people, that I found it so annoying and disruptive for bosses to look over my shoulder and micromanage me, I thought that I would never do that to people that worked for me. But it turns out, you got to think about these people. They are not like you, people that are working for other people. You don't want to work for other people. That's why you're an entrepreneur. That's why you're self-employed. But there are people that like to work for other people, and they want you to let them know what to do. For example, an Elance writer, say you wanted to hire somebody to write a book for you, ghostwrite a book. Hey, do a book about business. You can't do that. You have to get on there and you have to say, I need 60,000 words about business. I want those words divided into these chapters. I needed to have this kind of voice. Here are the main concepts that I want you to put in. I need you to deliver 25% on this date, the next 50% on this date, the following 25% on this date. Here's how the payment schedule works. Here's what happens if you're late. People want that explicitness when you're hiring them. Being clear is good. That's why we have prenuptial agreements. It's not that you don't trust your spouse. It's the fact that you're saying, here's what I'm bringing to the table. Here's what you're bringing to the table. And here's our agreement on what happens should this partnership not work. It's not saying you don't trust anybody. So to summarize this episode, ambiguity for you, very good. Being comfortable with not knowing what's happening, very good. Jumping in anyway, very good. Ambiguity for your customers and potential customers, leaving some mystery, very good. Let them fill in the blanks. Let them read your book instead of watch your movie. You don't need to show them everything. Let them fill in the blanks. And ambiguity for the people that you hire, not as good. That's when you need to be very specific about what you want. Now, you don't need to micromanage them. You just need to be very specific. Let them do their thing. Let them bring out their talents, but be very clear on what your expectations are. Hey, next episode, I'm going to talk about the real VIP. The real VIP. I had an event that I attended a couple of months ago. It was a book launch. Been attending a lot of book launches lately. And there were some VIPs there. And there were different levels of VIPs. And this is important for you if you're thinking about trying to meet influential people, if you're doing any kind of coaching program, if you're doing any kind of book launch event, if you've got a membership site, the different levels of VIPs is probably not what you think. Until I saw it laid out in this way, I wasn't thinking like this. Didn't surprise me, but I wasn't thinking like this. That's on the next episode, and make sure that you get it. RedPodcast.com. That's your one-stop shop for all things Red Podcast. You want to subscribe via iPhone? Gotcha. Android? Gotcha. Google Play? Gotcha. One click, you will never miss a Red Podcast episode. Thank you so much for listening to Red Podcast. At David Hooper on Twitter is the best way to reach out to me. If you've got a question, comment, fire away. At David Hooper on Twitter. See you on the next episode.
You've been listening to Red Podcast, the marketing podcast for influencers. Never miss an episode. Subscribe now with your iPhone, Android, or via RSS at redpodcast.com.
Okay, here's the conclusion of my DJ gig. I showed up late, well after the call time. Started on time, got a 5-hour set. It's the winter time in Ohio. It's my first winter in Ohio. I'd moved up from Mississippi, where it gets over 100 degrees in the summer, super hot, super humid. It was exactly the opposite of what I was used to. I was not at all prepared. I didn't even have a winter coat before I got up there, so I was freezing to death. And on this particular gig, I was super sick. Got there late. I was missing my Christmas music. Guys were coming up to me, "Hey, can you play Happy Holidays? Hey, can you play Jingle Bell Rock?" I had none of that stuff in my collection, and for 5 hours, I was making excuses on why I needed to play disco music, whatever I was playing, anything but Christmas music, just the stuff I brought along with me. I was super nervous because I knew that my booking agent that I had just gotten was going to get a call saying, "Man, this was the worst DJ ever." But I got through the gig. Everybody had left, almost, just a few people were there, and I'm sick. Because I'd been there for 5 hours and I didn't have anything to blow my nose with. So I go into the bathroom and I blow my nose. It's like the longest nose blow that you've ever heard, like 20 seconds or something. Me just clearing out my head of all this snot. And this guy comes out of one of the stalls and he's like, "Hey, got something on your nose." And this whole time, so I'd been there for 5 or 6 hours at this point. This whole time I had been kissing everybody's ass, just trying to make sure that this gig went through and that I wasn't going to have the entire crowd turn on me. I'm thinking he's talking about brown nosing, right? So I'm like, yeah. Walk out, get the stuff in my vehicle, loading up the turntables, the CD players, the mixers, the lighting, the speaker cabinets. And I get a call on Monday from my booking agent. He's like, "David, I've got a serious question for you. I'm going to just ask it once, and I need an honest answer. Were you or have you ever done cocaine at one of the events that I booked you at?" And then I put it together. This guy wasn't thinking that I was kissing up to him. This guy was thinking that I was doing cocaine in the bathroom. And the punchline to this was that the client, the company who had hired me, it was a drug rehabilitation center. So the people that I'd played for the last 5 hours, there were counselors, there were people working in the drug rehabilitation business. A lot of them were former addicts themselves. And their current business, even though they had gotten clean, still involved drugs. They were looking for drugs, looking for people to come in high, everything drug related. That's all they did. Kind of brought their work with them to the party. And I know there's a business lesson in there somewhere. We project what we're going through, what we've gone through, on other people. It wasn't drugs, just a head cold. So that's how it ended up. I never got another gig with that company again, although the booking agent and I did have a good laugh once it all clicked and I was able to explain it to him. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. That's the ambiguity that I'm talking about. Thanks so much for listening to Red Podcast. See you on the next episode.